The Bleacher Report app is your destination for sports. Right now, the NBA is heating up, March Madness is here, and MLB is almost back. Every day there's a new headline, a new highlight, a new moment you've got to see for yourself. That's why I stay locked in with the Bleacher Report app. For me, it's about staying connected to my sports. I can follow the teams I care about, get real-time scores, breaking news, and highlights all in one place. Download the Bleacher Report app today so you never miss a moment.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy Friday to you. And, by the way, thank you to Mary Walter. She is one of my favorite human beings. We just love Mary. We've known each other, gosh, that's over 20 years. Can you believe that? Wow, but Mary did a great job filling in yesterday. She had previously, I was supposed to be at CPAC. That I have my plans changed, so I was not able to get down to CPAC. But I thought, you know what? I need to take a day off. I got a lot to do. And Dylan, what do I do? When Todd starts, says he's going to take a day off, what does that usually mean?
It means you're in our office building maybe 5 minutes later than you usually would be.
Yeah, that's pretty much
at work.
It. So I was downstairs. We have a multi-level broadcast bunker here, and I was in the lower level of the bunker. But it sounded great. Great show. Thank you, Mary. Dylan, you did a nice job.
I was kind of a star.
You were.
For a second.
But now the carriage has turned back into a pumpkin.
Yes.
So anyway, thank you guys for being so kind to Mary. She has a great podcast, and of course you see her now on Newsmax. She's a Newsmax contributor, so we love seeing her around the Newsmax building. So look, let's talk about what happened in the wee hours of the morning, and I've got a lot to say about this. By the way, this is Open Line Friday. So you get to call in and talk about whatever is on your mind. I want you to write down our number. Usually on Fridays, we have a lot of calls, and we do our best to get to everybody. But you need to call in early, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Now, look, here's the deal. Senate Republicans sort of had the Democrats by their private parts on this funding bill. And all the Republicans had to do was stand their ground. That's it. Everybody is now blaming the Democrats. Up until this point, everybody had been blaming the Democrats for these long lines at TSA checkpoints, the fact that Democrats, by not funding Homeland Security, putting all of us in grave danger. And the American people understood what was going on. They understood that it wasn't the Republicans, it was the Democrats. Well, in the wee hours of the morning, Senate Majority Leader John Thune decided to throw in the towel and capitulate. And I know you're going to hear a lot of spin coming from the Senate Republicans. Don't believe any of it, folks. This is really an abomination, what happened. And I've outlined a few things. First of all, and by the way, someone just shared this with me, that Senate Majority Leader John Thune has now left Washington with a private escort through the airport. So while all the rest of you are standing in line, the majority leader is on his way out of town with his private escort. This is unacceptable, just unacceptable. Now, I want to share a few things, and I've been posting a lot on social media about this, because all of this happened at 2 a.m. while you were sleeping, and that's all you need to know. Whenever Senate Republicans do something after working hours, say after 6 or 7 o'clock at night, it is always bad for the American people. That's just the way it is. So I don't want you to listen to any of the spin, because the Democrats got everything they wanted. Chuckie Schumer is out there celebrating because this was a massive victory for the Democrats. John Thune handed the Democrats a huge victory, and you, the American voters, well, you're getting hosed. You're getting screwed. And that was the reason why John Thune scheduled this vote while the nation was asleep, because he wanted to give the senators time, the Republican senators time, to skip out of town before voters woke up and discovered what had happened. So here's the deal. Homeland Security is, they're gonna fund TSA. And that was the sticking point, because TSA impacts the average American citizen, right? So that was the pivotal point here. And now that's off the table. That's gone. Also, just so you're aware, that the Republican senators left Washington without doing anything about the Save America Act. So, by the way, the House now has to deal with this. And the question is, exactly how is the House going to respond? I know Speaker Mike Johnson was enraged yesterday about this, and he's really upset now. Here is the speaker just a few moments ago. It's one of these walk and talk things. Take a listen.
Get all members together and decide that strategy this morning, but I'll tell you, it's infuriating that Democrats are willing to inflict pain on the American people simply so they can defund the agency that is responsible, literally, for removing criminal illegal aliens.
Yeah. It's, I mean, Johnson's like, dude, what are you people, what are you Republicans doing to us here? So the question now is, will the House Republicans go along with what Majority Leader Thune did? Now, you have a right to be upset about this. The question is, we've all been down, and this is nothing new, we've all sort of been down this road before when it comes to the Republicans. And at some point, you have to ask yourself, is it worth it? I know Kevin Kiley's running as an independent. You've got a few folks that are independents, and I think Kiley is going to caucus with his old party. He was a Republican out in Southern California, and he's going to be running as an independent for Congress again. At some point, do you say, you know what? This is not worth it. When you look at what, for example, the Republicans have done to the good conservative people of North Carolina, just every single time they betray you guys. I mean, right now, the new head of the RNC is completely worthless. Completely worthless. And I am afraid we are going to be looking at really a disaster in the midterms unless this gets all sorted out. I believe we're going to be talking to Congressman John Rose out of Tennessee. He is furious about what the Senate Republicans have done here. And we'll also be talking to Josh Jones. Normally, we talk to Josh on Tuesdays. I wanted to bring him back in because we've got to figure out the political implications of all of this. So I've come up with some ideas, and I want to hear your thoughts on this. I believe that we can salvage something here, but this is what's going to have to happen. Republicans are going to have to get right back on those airplanes and come back to Washington. They are going to have to convene, and they're going to have to remove John Thune from his leadership position. As a matter of fact, I'll go a step further. Any Senate Republican leader has to be removed, and we've got to get new leadership in there. You know what? Why not put J.D. Vance in charge? Why can't we let J.D. Vance, which, by the way, he would be allowed to do, let J.D. Vance be the majority leader of the Republican Party and just cram the president's agenda through the Senate? Because right now, the Republican-controlled Senate is politically constipated. I mean, they are backed up. And we have got to do something to unclog the Republicans so that they can get the president's agenda to the president's desk. And I believe so. And those are not just the only ones. I've got a list here, Dylan. So bear with me. So we remove Majority Leader Thune. We install an America First Majority Leader, whether that be J.D. Vance or somebody else. Then immediately vote to nuke the filibuster, pass the Save America Act, confirm the president's nominees, publicly apologize to the American people, and then publicly apologize to President Donald J. Trump. I believe if they can do those things, it might possibly salvage all of this for the midterm elections. Otherwise, I think we are going to watch the base of the party not vote Democrat, but just stay home. And I've been warning you about this for weeks now. And I'm preparing you because, you know, there's been a lot of, and that, look, I'm a hopeful person, and there's still a chance to turn this all around. But what happens if we find out that our Republican leaders don't want to turn around, that they don't want to change, that ultimately the bottom line here, the goal here was to ultimately sabotage and stop the president's agenda. And one of the ways they can do that and do it very effectively is to stop the agenda in the Senate. And that's basically what they've done here. Chuck Schumer is overjoyed today, and he ought to be. How do you, this is, it's sheer insanity. Sheer insanity. But I got to tell you something. I'll read this to you. This is a statement from Schumer. In the wake of the, let me scroll down here. Here we go. Democrats held firm in our opposition that Donald Trump's rogue and deadly militia should not get more funding without serious reforms, and we continue to fight for those reforms. I'm very proud of our Democrat caucus. Through it all, Senate Democrats stood united, no wavering, no backing down. We held the line. And they did. They absolutely did. And I hate that. I hate that they did. But that's who the Democrats are. They will fight for their whatever they believe in, they will fight for. But we don't have fighters up on Capitol Hill. And it angered me when I saw and by the way, many of the Senate Republicans, as they were running away like rats on a sinking ship, and they had their little private security escorts as they were whisked through the airports, they know what they did. And honestly, I think every single Republican ought to be primaried. And you know why I say that? I'm sorry, aside from Rand Paul, where's Ted Cruz? Where's Josh Hawley? Where's Bill Hagerty? Where Marsha Blackburn? Why aren't all these people out there condemning the leader? And that's my point, is they're all guilty. That's all of them. People are like, no, Todd, you don't mean all of them. No, I do mean all of them. Because if you've got a majority leader that's going to stand up there and stick it to the American people, you have an obligation, not to your party, you have an obligation to your constituents to get out there and say, wait a second, hold up. This is not why we were given control of the Senate. This is not what the president wanted us to do. We are here to stand up for our president, the leader of our party, and more importantly, we're here to defend the constituents and their desires. We sent them to Washington to do something, and they're just not doing it. But again, nobody's condemning. The only people attacking John Thune are coming out of the House of Representatives. Of course, there is some sort of a new rule going into effect in many Republican state parties and local parties that if you say something ill about a fellow Republican, you can actually be removed from the party. To that I say, great. You know what? Here's my membership. Here's my membership card. Burn, baby, burn. Because any sort of a party that doesn't allow for healthy debate is not a party that I want to be a part of. All right, we've got a lot. I've got a lot more to say about this. We've got a lot of audio to play. We're going to be taking your calls as well. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Folks, if you're looking for a romantic comedy that's actually funny, uplifting, and safe to enjoy with your family, well, this is it. Angel Studios has done something special with Solo Mio, a film that proves Hollywood can still tell a great love story without crudeness or compromise. The movie's set in beautiful Italy, stunning scenery that feels like a breath of fresh air. Kevin James delivers big laughs and real heart, and Jonathan Romey brings a surprising and delightful performance that audiences are going to love. In a world filled with nonstop bad news, it's refreshing to sit down and watch a movie that leaves you smiling. This is wholesome entertainment you can feel good about supporting. So right now, when you become a premium member of the Angel Guild, you'll receive 2 free tickets to see Solo Mio in theaters on February 6th. Grab your spouse, your sweetheart, or your family and let's support stories that celebrate humor, hope, and love. Visit angel.com/starns.com today. All right, welcome back, everybody, and I want you to grab something to write with right now. Whatever you're doing, stop what you're doing, grab your smartphone. I want you to write down this telephone number. I'm going to give you the telephone number for the Capitol switchboard. So here's the deal. We're getting some new intel, and I'm going to give the number in just a moment. I want to give you time to get. You see, I'm very considerate of the audience here, Dylan. I know it takes time to, write down, grab something to write with. So I want to share this with you before I give out the number. Congressman Andy Ogles actually just shared my list of things that the Senate needs to do. But Ogles says that they are going to add in, so they've got to vote on this. They're about to send this legislation right back to the Senate, and they're adding in ICE funding, voter ID. Those are the two things they're going to add back in and send it back to the Senate. But Ogles is really fired up about this, and I appreciate him sending, sharing my information. But anyway, we'll get his audio in just a moment, what he had to say. But I want you to write down this telephone number, 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. You need to do two things. First of all, you need to call your congressperson and tell them do not pass what the Senate just sent over. And then the second thing you need to do is you need to connect yourself with your senator's office, and you need to give them a piece of your mind. It needs to be, and again, very polite, but you need to have a come to Jesus meeting with those folks. Every single person of the, if we do that, we're going to break the phone system there at the Capitol, but we've got to do this, folks. We have to do it. This is one of those moments where we are going to have to wield a mighty big voice and force these Republicans to do the right thing. Here's Congressman Ogles.
So what the Senate did last night was they passed a bill that did not fully fund the government, meaning Child Sex Trafficking Investigation Unit isn't funded. They didn't fully fund Homeland Security. So we're focused on amending the bill and putting that back in, and we're going to add in voter ID in the process. They're cowardly, they didn't do their job, and now they left town. They should come back, and they should have to do their job.
Yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I'm getting some new intel right now. It's my understanding that the Speaker of the House is furious, along with the House Republican Whip, Tom Emmer. And the Senate may have to come back here. They may have to come back. We've got some audio, and we'll play that coming up after the break. Tom Emmer on Fox just a few moments ago, he said what the Senate did was not right. We're going to make sure that the border is funded. We're not going to allow a radical anarchist or socialist Marxist to create an open border situation again. And Emmer says this is a very dangerous precedent. So I'm just curious, ladies and gentlemen, what is your solution here? Do we need to demand? Do you believe that John Thune needs to be removed? Does President Trump need to step in here? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, we're going to be talking to Congressman John Rose. He is on deck a little bit later on. Joe Messina is going to join us, and also Parker May is going to drop by for a look at March Madness. Lord knows we got a lot of madness up on Capitol Hill right now. Also, folks, toddstearns.com is our website, and I want you to go and check out all of the great content we have for you there. Again, I want to share this number. Call the Capital Switchboard, 202-224-3121, and you give those lawmakers a piece of your mind, America. We'll be right back, everybody.
Here's something most people don't know. When Warren Buffett was just 13 years old, he didn't put his money into a savings account. While other kids were earning next to nothing at local banks, Buffett put $114 into a little-known investment. Today, that $114 would be worth over $15 million. And it wasn't a risky trade, it wasn't even insider knowledge. It was an account that's been around since 1888, and over the last 25 years, it's averaged 29% a year. That's what happens when your money is allowed to compound. Compare that to today's savings accounts, paying less than 0.5%. While inflation quietly eats away at your buying power. Buffett understood early, banks are great businesses, just not for savers. If you'd like to see what some investors call the 29% account, go now to secretaccount29.com. That's secretaccount, the numbers, 29.com. Secretaccount29.com.
Well, actually, I'll start out with our speaker is very unhappy. I'm not happy. Our whole leadership group, what the Senate did was, not right. We are going to make sure that border is funded. This is about making sure that President Trump's number one promise was that the border was going to be secure. He's accomplished with Republican leadership incredible things with the southern border. It has never been as tight as it is right now. But we are not going to allow these radical, anarchist, Marxist, socialist Democrats to literally stop or create an open border situation again like we experienced under Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And we're going to make sure that we continue to deport criminal, illegal aliens. This is what Americans want.
If there is a no vote in the House today, does that mean that the Senate has to come back to do it all over again?
The House will have a solution. That's as much as I can tell you. There'll be more on that very shortly. I think the leadership team with the speaker has been working through this. Again, they did this at 3 in the morning, Stuart.
Yep.
Instead of doing it in the light of day when all of America can watch what's going on, they did this procedural move early in the morning. It, by the way, it sets dangerous precedents going forward. If you can take appropriations bills and start to take out pieces that you don't like, this will never end. So we're working through it in the House. We will have a solution, and the speaker will announce it hopefully within the next hour or so.
All right, and we will let you know when that happens. By the way, that was the Republican whip, Tom Emmers. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, say hello to our good friend, Congressman John Rose from Tennessee. And Congressman Rose also running to be the next governor of Tennessee. And we'll ask him about that in just a moment. But Congressman, want to get your reaction to what the Senate did in the wee hours of the morning.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. Thanks for having me, or good morning, I guess, where you are. Thanks for having me on the show today. And just kind of a gut punch, frankly, by the Senate to kind of capitulate as they and then leave town.
In the dark of night, Congressman, I've always said nothing good ever happens in Washington, D.C. after 10 o'clock at night. And clearly that was the case here. My question is, what are you guys going to do about it? We're hearing a lot of different reports coming out of the House that this is a non-starter. What say you?
Well, I think it should be. I think, first of all, we should not capitulate to the Democrats on their agenda to defund the police, in this case, ICE and Customs and Border Protection. We know far too well how that goes and how that ends, and that's not what the American people voted for in 2024 when they gave us the majority in the House and the Senate and reelected President Trump. So we should not do that, in my opinion, and I think we have them on the ropes, and so that's why it's so disappointing to see the Senate leave town. And then secondly, we should not be letting the Senate get off the hook with the Save America Act. And so it's disappointing to see them rush to get out of town and bypass security in the process.
Boy, they sure did, didn't they? And I've seen there's been a lot of video of senators that are just literally bypassing. First of all, I didn't think they were going to be able to do that, but they clearly are. Everybody else has to wait in line, but these senators are able to walk right onto those airplanes.
Rules for thee, but not for me, right?
Yeah, it sure looks like it. It sure looks like it. Congressman, I shared something a little while ago. I know several lawmakers, your colleagues, have been sharing this on X. I'm concerned here. I am concerned that what the Senate did today could very well spell disaster for the party in the midterms. First of all, do you share that concern?
Very much I do. And you know, I don't think it is the right answer, because I do think the Democrats are responsible for this ultimately, and I don't think they offer a better path forward in terms of governance of this country. But as we've seen in the past, the Republican electorate, frankly, will hold Republicans to account for failing to get the job done. And it's hard to argue with that at some level. I mean, obviously, I would argue better us than them to be in charge, because we know what we get when they're in charge, and it is horrendous. We saw that during the Biden years. So, you know, I would appeal to the American people to hold Republicans' feet to the fire, you know, keep Republicans in the majority to support the president. If we don't do that...
But they're not doing that. Congressman, they're not doing that. This is why you and I are so upset right now, is that John Thune is blocking the president's agenda.
He is indeed. He is indeed. But it can be worse. And I think that's the appeal that I would make, is it can be worse. Now, we should wear them out here. I think you're right. We should call on Thune to step aside and let someone who will carry the flag take over and lead the Senate, because Thune is not getting the job done. He is not willing to make the hard, tough calls here and take the chances that are necessary to demonstrate to the American people that Republicans actually will take up the reins of leadership and lead this country and get the president's agenda put in place and save the republic, frankly, by passing the Save America Act.
So you are, in addition to being a congressman, you're also a constituent. You have two senators that represent you in the U.S. Senate from Tennessee. Why aren't we hearing anybody? I hear all these people saying, you know what? No, we stand with the president. We want all this to happen. But I don't hear anybody calling out John Thune in the U.S. Senate right now. Not a one.
I think that's been extraordinary. The silence has been deafening, as they say. You know, they talk a mean game in social media, and they talk a mean game when they're back in Tennessee. Recently heard Senator Blackburn say she's part of a cabal. I think it was maybe a misstatement. She said she's part of a cabal that's going to go enact the Save America Act. Well, that didn't work out so well. And so we should hold them accountable, and they should be holding their leader accountable. You know, I know they like to talk about how the Senate is, you know, a more sophisticated place, but they've got to get the job done, and they're not getting the job done, and they need to take the gloves off and punch hard and demand that Leader Thune actually provide the leadership that gets the job done.
Here on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, we've got Tennessee Congressman John Rose joining us today. Congressman, what's the game plan here? I know the speaker certainly appears to be really upset about all of this. Do you believe we're going to see any sort of action today? What can you tell us?
Well, so we're actually having a conference call of the House Republican Conference just before this interview started. And so what at least one of the proposed path forward is for the House to offer a continuing resolution that would get DHS back in operation and then force the Senate to come back and respond to that. And so they would be getting back on planes and headed back into Washington, presumably over the weekend or by Monday, if that moved forward. There is considerable angst and disappointment and frustration in the Republican conference. No one is happy. There are a few people who think we should just rubber stamp the Senate action and move forward, but I think that's the minority view at this point. The question is, you know, how quickly can we turn something around? And then will the Senate Will they sit on their hands at home for Easter's recess or Easter break? Or will they get back into town and get the government reopened? As you know, we've voted multiple times now to fully fund the government, to fully fund DHS. It's the Senate that's been failing to get the job done, and it's the Democrats in the Senate who have repeatedly stood in the way. So we should not lose sight of that. That the Senate Democrats are the obstacles to funding DHS. They're responsible for the long lines at the airports. It is Senate Democrats who are responsible for TSA agents going weeks without pay. It is Senate Democrats who are responsible for using the American people as leverage to protect criminal illegal aliens. And we should not let anyone lose sight of that fact. It is the Senate Democrats. Now, the vast, you know, all but one of the House Democrats, I think, have voted for this repeatedly as well. So we shouldn't give them a pass. It's just that it's Senate Democrats that are blocking this from getting put into law and funding these things. And they've essentially gotten away with it at this point if we let this stand.
And again, going back to, and you're right, everything you said is absolutely right. And yet because of what I don't understand why the majority leader did that. He gave up the moral high ground here, and he did not have to do it. That I think that's one of the things that really frustrates me. That and the Save America Act. This is so crucial, Congressman, to ensuring that we have fair elections and the Democrats can't steal any more elections.
That there's no question that that's true, and we have ample evidence going all the way back, of course, to 2020 and even before, but we all remember what happened in 2020. The Democrats got by with stealing that election. They've continued to do that. They will continue to do it as long as we let them get by with it. Obviously, since 2020, President Biden presided over letting something in an order of 15 to 30 million more illegals into the country. The Democrats are determined to steal elections, to cheat, and use illegal aliens as pawns to take away the vote, the right to vote from the American people and to have a fair vote. And while we do better in Tennessee than most of the country, we're still not perfect. And it really doesn't matter, because if Democrats are able to steal the election in other states, then they diminish and dilute the votes of Tennesseans in a way that impacts the future of the Republic.
Well, they certainly can. And Congressman, real quick, I know we have a lot of listeners across the volunteer state. You're wanting to be the next governor, and of course, a huge primary battle. And again, you've got Monty Fritz, who's a state representative, and Marsha Blackburn, who is leaving the Senate to be the next governor. Why are you the right man for that job?
Well, and I'll just start by saying, obviously Senator Blackburn will stay in the Senate if she's not elected governor. So Tennessee can have it both ways. They can hold her to do the job that she hired on to do. And hire me to be the next governor. But to answer your question, the job of being governor is the job of being CEO of Tennessee, of leading our state. And I have that kind of experience. I will tell you, the experience I've gotten in Congress has been interesting, but it's not really relevant experience for the job at hand. And neither of my opponents have that experience, frankly. And so it really comes down to that. Do you want a career legislator or someone who doesn't have the experience of leading a large organization, or do you want someone who's already learned how to do that, is ready to go to work on day one and do the job, roll up their sleeves, and not have to have on-the-job training? I've seen that happen a lot. I experienced that on my own dime, building my own businesses. I learned on the job, but I've now got that experience, and so I'm ready to go to work for Tennesseans on day one.
All right. Well, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. I know you've got a very busy Friday ahead of you, and we certainly appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you, Todd. Keep up the good work. I appreciate your advocacy on these important, critical issues for the future of our country.
Well, we love America, Congressman, and we want to make it work. By the way, I did see you Monday, but you had all these reporters around you, and I didn't want to interrupt the Q&A, but it was good to see you from a distance in Memphis the other day.
Very good to see you, Todd, and please interrupt. I would have loved to visit with you.
All right. Well, Congressman, again, thank you. Congressman John Rose, everybody, on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. All right, we're going to take a break, and we had some breaking news there. Congressman John Rose becomes the first Republican lawmaker up on Capitol Hill to call for Majority Leader Thune to step aside. We will see if other lawmakers are willing to make a similar declaration. We're going to be taking your calls as well. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. And again, we do have folks calling in and saying, hey, can you share the number again? You know what? If you would like the number for Capitol Hill, and we'll share it throughout the show today, but give us a call and we'll get that to you directly. Our number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. If you are watching our video feeds on Facebook, YouTube, Rumble, all of those platforms, we'll post it there as well. You'll be able to, you'll be able to get that information as well. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Charles in North Carolina, WSIC, our great affiliate. Hey, Charles, what's on your mind?
So, Todd, there's only one option left to pass the SAVE Act, and one option. And I called Senator Mike Lee's office this morning. I was able to get through and talk to one of his assistants to see if she could relay what I'm getting ready to tell you to the senator. But in the Constitution, Article 2, Section 3 allows the president to call an emergency session of Congress, either one house or both houses. And I think what needs to happen is President Trump needs to call for an emergency session of Congress for the Senate and demand the passage of the SAVE Act. He needs to get Chuck Schumer and John Thune in the Oval Office, just like he did Schumer and Pelosi years ago. And he needs to say, not only do I demand you pass the SAVE Act, but the American people demand you pass the SAVE Act. It has over 80% support, Republicans, Democrats, and independents. And Todd, we've come a long way in 10 years. A lot has happened since Donald Trump was first elected in 2016. The lawfare, trying to bankrupt the man, throwing him in jail, the stealing of the 2020 election, the invasion of 20 million people, two assassination attempts. And we know that the Democrats are trying to spread these illegals across the country for, to increase their electoral power in the House and Senate. And you know, I feel like, Todd, we've gotten a beachhead in 2024 when Trump won, but now we're giving it up. But Trump needs to, he needs to invoke that, that the Article 2, Section 3, because if not, we're going to lose, not only lose the midterms, we're going to lose probably in 2028, and Republicans will never win again. And there's just no other option right now. I mean, what do you think?
Well, we're running out of options, and this may be it. I'm anxious to see what the speaker's coming up with, and the speaker's pretty enraged over all of this, so I think we're going to see some movement there on Speaker Johnson's side, which would require the Senate to come back. But I like this idea, and maybe this is, because you're right. I mean, look, even if they came back, they're not touching the SAVE Act. John Thune's made that extraordinarily clear to the American people that he doesn't care what the polling data says. Whoever is funding his retirement accounts, they don't want that to pass. And so that's what we're dealing with here. So yeah, I like this idea. And you're right. Under extraordinary circumstances, the president can call for a joint session of Congress or you know, either the House or the Senate or both. I would consider doing both, and I would consider doing it very quickly because we have got to secure our elections. Charles, I don't know about you, and we're wrapping up this hour of the show. I don't know about you, but for me, this is the most pressing issue of the day. Now, I don't want nuclear clouds over any of our American cities, and I'm glad we're taking care of whatever we're taking care of over in Iran. But domestically speaking, this, the Save America Act, is the most important thing our elected leaders should be focused on. And they're not doing it. They're simply not doing it. All right, we got to take a break here. Open Line Friday, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. Again, that number, 901-260-5926. Hang tight, everybody. Hour two of the big show on this Friday. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us on this Friday edition of the program. By the way, today is Open Line Friday, which means you get to talk about whatever you want to talk about today. Write down our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, we just had a terrific meeting with our marketing team, the publisher of my new book. It'll be out in May. It's called The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. And they are really going big time when it comes to promoting the book and the message of the book. Not only the book is about celebrating what Trump did for America, but also explaining how we can carry the torch into the next generation. And it really is a for such a time as this book. And I want you to get a pre-ordered copy of it. And you can do that at your favorite bookstore. We're encouraging you to get them at Barnes & Noble or Books A Million, Amazon, to help us so that we have a good idea of pre-orders. And the reason why is my last book that came out, I guess it was so successful, they ran out of books like the third day in bookstores around the country. So we want to make sure that everybody gets a copy of this. And also, we have been getting some questions about people ordering the book in bulk. So if you're wanting, you know, 5, 10, 20 copies or more, we're going to be able to help you with that, because a lot of book clubs and churches and political groups are wanting to purchase bulk orders. Now, if that is you and if you're interested, we want you to give us a call so we can get your information. That number is 901-260-5926, and the lovely Miss Helen will get your information. Again, 901-260-5926, and that's if you're looking at ordering in bulk, so multiple copies of, I think it's like five or ten and on up. So we've got special discounts and things of that nature. All right. By the way, before we go to Josh, we posted about the book because Speaker Mike Johnson has officially endorsed the book, and I want to read what the speaker wrote, and then we've already had people responding to this on social media. This is what Speaker Johnson said. As President Trump leads our nation into its golden age, Todd Starnes has delivered a powerful and timely book that challenges us to be that shining city on a hill. Read and share this with friends and family who believe in America and want to help keep our extraordinary republic. And that is coming from our Speaker of the House, and very thankful for Mike Johnson and his kind words about the book. And that has led, Dylan, to an avalanche of mail. So let's go to the mailbag. This is coming from Jim. Todd, you vile little toady. Did you write this before, during, or after you had your nose in his anus? Oh, my. Josh writing in, no one is buying this garbage, bro. Gen X Jen says, I don't buy propaganda, no thanks. Miss Aswal says, this sounds like poop. I think what she meant to say, Dylan, was that it smells like poop, because it's not, it doesn't sound like poop. It's the golden age. That sounds nothing like poop.
Poop has a sound, too, though. I mean, yeah, I understand. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's not what that you don't get golden age
yeah,
out
she
of.
She missed it.
Yeah, exactly. The real Knutson says, so the golden age starts with a war, an insolvent debt, prices spiking everywhere, rising unemployment, isolating from allied countries, and a president manipulating markets for his own gain. There's many, many more, but what an odd way to start a golden age. Well, whatever gets you up in the morning there, Newt. JP Reddy, I'm having to scroll down some of the ones I cannot repeat on air. JP Reddy writes, ha ha, ha 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 ha, ha ha, hilarious. Well, actually, it is there are parts of the book that are incredibly funny. So there you know, we ought to put some of these on the back cover, Dylan.
Not a bad idea.
I mean, it might really sell a few extra copies. You never know.
I like the book cover. It looks really snazzy.
It's got that whole, like, you know, Great Gatsby
it's like,
feeling.
It's very nice. It's very 20s.
It is. The roaring 20s. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to our good friend Josh Jones. Josh, that wasn't you writing that it smells like poop.
That was not me, no. It's all right. A bit of different Josh.
Yeah, thank you for that. I appreciate it. So anyway, folks, get a copy of the book, and you can do that wherever you buy your books. So, Josh, we normally have you on Thursday, Tuesday. We're double dipping, and it just seems like there is sheer chaos happening right now in Washington, D.C., and a lot of people are fired up and angry at John Thune.
Yeah, you do see it, like, particularly on the Hill and in the House, since those members are a little bit more free to say what's actually on their mind, given that they don't answer to the leadership in the Senate. There's a lot of people upset with John Thune currently up on the Hill.
I'm concerned here, and we just had Congressman John Rose on. He becomes the first lawmaker to say that Thune needs to be replaced. There is a lot of anger among House Republicans that are just enraged, and we're waiting to hear from Mike Johnson to see what they're going to do. I contend this is going to be disastrous if we do not get a handle on this before the midterms.
Agreed, because, I mean, if you look at some of these special elections that have been happening across the country, there's just no enthusiasm, really, on the Republican side, and part of that lays at the feet of Congress. I mean, there's probably plenty of blame to go around, but part of that is the fact that Congress isn't, trailblazing, so to speak, in terms of, like, getting this flagship legislation across the finish line to motivate Republican voters to come out to the polls.
You know, on that note, I mean, these two races in South Florida, first of all, a lot of people didn't even know there was an election. The governor, even Ron DeSantis, did not put anything out encouraging people to get out and vote. My understanding is he didn't like at least one of the candidates that was running on the Republican side. So, again, a lot of people just did not know about it. But still, Josh, I mean, we are looking at now well over a dozen or so of these special elections. Every single one, the Democrats flip.
Yeah, I mean, this should be a warning sign for Republicans heading into November. And look, I'm on the team. I want Republicans to do well, and I want them to win. But there's no point in sugarcoating it, because when we get to November, if we haven't been honest with ourselves about the reality of the political landscape, we're going to lose. So, look, Democrats have the motivation to come out to the polls right now. I mean, this is a race in South Florida that we should have won. It's the district that Mar-a-Lago's in, and that the president carried by 10-plus points last in 2024. And then now, flash forward, and we lose the special election by 3 or 4 points there. So that's a pretty big swing, and if it reflects the move of the country, then Republicans are in a pretty bad spot. Granted, now there's a lot of other factors, like you said. A lot of people didn't know the election was happening. It was really low turnout. It was in March. The midterm year for the with Republicans in power, which means Democrats are going to come out more. So, look, there's a lot of other factors that you can do an autopsy on this, but all that comes out to be Republicans aren't showing up to vote.
No, they're not. I think they're, for whatever reason, they're demoralized or whatever, and I get that. Again, I don't think it's helping here when you've got the Senate doing something at 2-3 o'clock in the morning, then rushing out of town. You know, the problem here is, and Mike Lee did a great job of laying all of this out. He said the good news out of what happened at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning is that, well, President Trump is paying the TSA agents. He decided to do that. The current bill the Senate just sent over to the House reopens DHS, ICE, and Border Patrol. Primarily funded through the One Big Beautiful Bill. The bad is that the Senate goes on a 2-week recess without passing the SAVE Act, without passing standalone voter ID, or funding all of DHS through the normal process. So, and the ugly is that Congress, especially the Senate, cannot skate by relying on President Trump to solve all of our problems. Republicans have to justify their majorities by fighting for permanent policy victories, not can kicking with unrealistic reconciliation promises. He said, if we do not stand and fight today, we will not inspire Americans in November. What do you think about what Senator Mike Lee has to say?
I think you hit the nail pretty on the head there. Look, if you aren't giving Republican voters faith in your majorities in Congress, what motivation do they have to come out and essentially rehire you this November? If Congress, particularly the Senate, but if Congress is just going to sit on their hands, say, oh, we're going to let the administration or President Trump handle this and, you know, do what they can through administrative avenues, look, that's all dying and fandy. That's fine for now, but whenever a Democrat administration comes in the town, they're just going to reverse all that at the signing of a pen, whereas if it goes to Congress, there's actual laws signed in to like make these more permanent, essentially. So, look, we are in crunch time. We are in March of 2026. The midterms are right in front of us. And I look, I get it. There's district work to be done for members of Congress to go back to the respective districts and or states if you're a senator and work on district issues. But now it's crunch time. We don't have time to go to recess for 2 weeks to go back to the respective states and not get anything done whenever we have all this major legislation pending. So I'm glad Mike Lee's telling the truth of the situation, and hopefully more members of the caucus are on that same mindset.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Josh, look, we appreciate you weighing in here. I know it's the weekend, and it's crunch time, and we've got to get this right. So, anyway, good to hear from you, my friend.
Thanks, Todd. Appreciate it.
All right, Josh Jones weighing in, giving us his intel. By the way, here is Speaker Mike Johnson, and I like seeing fiery Mike Johnson. Take a listen.
Hill is willing to fund all of the security and safety of the American people. We cannot believe it's come to that, but
if
it has.
The Senate gets that through the Senate, will you put it on the floor?
We'll have to see. We have to solve the problem, and it's very sad that Democrats are not interested in doing that.
Yes. Does that mean that you're not in favor of breaking the DHS funding bill apart, just funding TSA, just funding FEMA, having individual votes on each section?
We have never been in favor of breaking the bill up. Why? Because it's one of the 12 separate appropriations bills that is the most basic function of Congress to fund the government. And we did it in a bipartisan, bicameral manner. Remember, the contents of that bill were decided upon earlier by Democrats until they decided to hold the American people hostage in their long lines at the airports and with the safety of everybody on the line to make a political point. It is shameful. There is no way for them to defend this to the American people. And breaking it out I think it puts an exclamation point on what they've tried to do here. It's shameful. So many people have been through so many hardships because of this nonsense. And what we're concerned about is people may actually be hurt. More people harmed by criminal illegal aliens than are being protected by the Democrat Party. And we're sick of it.
Wow. You know that big, that you could hear him pounding the pulpit there, the podium. He's really fired up. As well as he should be. All right, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll follow all of the breaking news as it happens. By the way, have you heard about what happened, Dylan, with the Nashville Predators?
Unfortunately, I have.
Yeah, they're getting mocked on social media. That's, of course, the NHL team, the hockey team. And the Predators hosted Predators Pride Night, and so they changed the logo to they replaced the team logo with rainbow colors, and also a message that gay pride means the freedom to live authentically and boldly, which ironically is what the transgender terrorist wrote before she shot up the Christian school in Nashville. Have you noticed that Predators do love the rainbow flag? I mean, they were embracing it. Anyway, the Predators, this all happened last night. They hosted a pregame party in Smashville. Well, that's all these names are just so unfortunate now. But anyway, Predators in Smashville, they had a glitter bar, and everybody was given Predator Pride jerseys to wear. The national anthem was performed by a group called the Cowgaze, which is sort of like Brokeback Mountain on ice. And they're known for like mocking God. And they sang the Cowgaze. Now let's get real. What does hockey have to do with homosexuality or in all seriousness? It has nothing to do with that. What they're trying to do is shove an agenda down the faces of good Christian people in the buckle of the Bible Belt, which is Nashville, Tennessee. Now, Dylan, you know me. I don't judge. We just share. We talk, but we don't judge here. It's a judgment-free zone. And I don't tell you how to wield your hockey stick or where to put your puck. That is not my job. It's a free country. But I really do want to meet the marketing geniuses who came up with Gay Predators Night.
I'm not sure you do want to meet them.
No, maybe not. Maybe in a public setting.
Yeah.
Lots of light.
Yes.
Some distance. Maybe a hockey stick between us, you know. It's, just saying. All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, this segment of the program brought to you by our friends at Newsmax. A new study finding 70% of Americans are not getting the full benefits they deserve from Social Security, but there is a way that you can increase your Social Security benefits by as much as $188,000 over a lifetime. Social Security expert Michael Allen has written 5 key strategies to increase your benefits, and it's in a free special report courtesy of our friends at Newsmax. All you have to do is pick up the phone and call. And it doesn't matter if you're already getting benefits or you will soon. You need this Social Security report. Give us a call, 800-999-9690. That's 800-999-9690. And we will text you the information right away. Of course, text and data rates do apply. That's 800-999-9690. 9690 to get that special report. All right, coming up, our good buddy Joe Messina from California will drop by. Huge riots breaking out in places like Cincinnati and Chicago, and even in Philadelphia, where these Utes are out there and they're causing mayhem. And these kids, they do not respect law enforcement at all. By the way, the mayor of Memphis and the police chief are flummoxed because you've got a lot of kids that are running around causing mayhem, shooting up people on Beale Street and other downtown locations, and there's a curfew on the books, and the mayor can't figure out how to enforce the curfew. And I have a few thoughts about that. Number one, arrest the Utes. Number two, arrest the parents. And then number three, give the parents a hickory switch so they can beat the living daylights and those demons out of the kids. Demon time, ladies and gentlemen. Demon time. All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, opening day at baseball parks around the nation, and I have to tell you, the celebration's incredibly patriotic and really some of the finest I've seen. However, in the aftermath of those games, you've got all you-know-what breaking loose. Let me just say this, in Memphis, and we'll start with Memphis and then Cincinnati and Chicago, but in Memphis, Tennessee, it's spring break, and all of these kids are out and about causing all sorts of mayhem on the streets of Memphis. I mean, we're talking like gangs of 50 to 200 kids, and they're terrorizing people. There have been 3 shootings in the downtown area, one at the $60 million park alongside the Mississippi River, 2 more on Beale Street. And the problem is there's a curfew. Well, first of all, we got a curfew, but the problem is the curfew for the Utes of America is not being enforced here in Memphis. So the mayor and the police chief, they were talking about this, and they don't know what to do. They don't have a clue. So here's my thought on this. If you are the police chief of an American city and you don't know how to enforce a law that is on the books, then you need a new job. And we need a new police chief. Now, they're now saying they don't know where to put all these kids. I have a thought. How about this? Jail. And then go and pick up mommy and daddy and throw them in jail. Because ultimately, it's the parents' responsibility to enforce a curfew and not city leaders, right? But if mom and dad aren't going to do their jobs, well, law enforcement needs to intervene, and you need to make it as painful as possible so that that will be the last time a kid breaks curfew. Well, I want to bring into the conversation our good friend. He is a nationally syndicated talk radio host, our good buddy from California, Joe Messina. Joe, hope you're doing well today. Does that make sense to you? I mean, if you're, you know, they don't know what to do, how about just enforcing the law?
Just, you know what, round up a couple of old school dads and the dads can tell them exactly what to do and how to make things happen. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. I'm the chief of police. I have no idea how to enforce a curfew. You know, get the boys together. Let's round them up. And to your point, get them, you know, I would lock them in a school somewhere for the moment. You know, let them, maybe they can learn something. I don't know. But I got to tell you, we're seeing it happen all across the country, like you say. There is no law and order because these police chiefs are being told to stand down by the city councils. I don't know what it's like there, but I know here in L.A., the city council pretty much and the mayor run the police chief and the police department. And they have told them to stand down on several occasions when they should have been active in getting these young kids off the street and out of the alleyways.
You know, Joe, we've seen it here in Memphis, and it's so bad. It's just awful. We saw it last night in Cincinnati where hundreds of kids were rioting after the baseball game, and they stormed a line of police officers. These kids have absolutely zero fear of law enforcement.
Now, why should they have? They go in, even if they get picked up, they're out with no bail in most major cities across the country. The charges are usually dropped against them. I don't know. You know, on my show, I kind of follow sometimes when they have mass arrests from these peaceful protests, so to speak. But they let most of them out again with no charges against them. So why be worried about it? And you and I both know this isn't grassroots. This isn't people scraping to get a dollars to get a magic marker and a white sign. This is professionally done. People are paying for this. They're paying to keep them out of jail. And you're right about the lack of respect for authority. I think you're right on with that. But you also have a generation just before them that also have a lack of respect for authority.
Well, you're not kidding. And it's just insane. The same thing happened in Chicago. And now you've got a lot of businesses. And the same thing happened in Cincinnati. A lot of these businesses just had to shut down. They can't, you know, stay in business. I know on Beale Street, a couple of the popular bars and music clubs had to close. Because these kids who are not even supposed to be on places like Beale Street, you know, are just rampaging and the cops are being told to stand down. And I think that's ultimately the problem is these kids need their butts in jail.
Yeah, and you're right about the curfew. I mean, we had an issue in my little small town of 300,000 where we had kids starting to get out of control in some of the little strip malls or what have you, and even in a major mall here. And they've always had a curfew in this town. The police chief here finally said, which is a part of the sheriff's department, said, we've had enough. We're done. We're going to enforce a curfew. Once they enforced a curfew for about 2 weeks, all of a sudden you stopped having these runs on these strip malls and in the regular mall and a few other places. Amazing how you throw some of these kids in jail or even simply have mom and dad have to come down and pick them up from the jail. How quickly this starts to subside. Now, I realize it's a lot bigger in L.A. and Philadelphia and places like that. But bring it, you know what? They have the National Guard available to them. I'm sure there's National Guard bases all around the place. We can round them up and bring them to as well. I think we need to get drastic. I really do.
Remember what Joe Arpaio, remember Sheriff Joe Arpaio was it Maricopa? Maricopa yes. County. What did he do? He put them all in tents. They had like a massive tent city. Maybe we do that.
In the desert. He put them in the tents in the desert. Fed them bologna sandwiches. And he basically said to the judges who kept calling him out was, if it's good enough for our soldiers, it's good enough for criminals.
Somebody said the bologna. Sir, there's some green in my bologna. He goes, that's healthy. It's plant. Plant-based.
Oh, and again, surplus. I heard he had surplus clothing, surplus underwear that he gave these guys and just said, look, at least you're covered. Get over it.
That's Joe Messina joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And, of course, you can actually watch Joe live on our social media feeds on YouTube, Facebook, and Rumble. Joe, you got a nice little set there. You look good on the TV.
Yeah, I clean up well, don't I? Filters are great.
Yes, indeed they are. Joe, real quick, I want to share some breaking news out of Washington, D.C., if that's okay.
Breaking news now on the Todd Starn Show.
So House Republicans are having a conference call. This is coming from Olivia Beavers over at the Wall Street Journal. She's their congressional reporter. And Congresswoman Ann Wagner actually asked, has the Senate agreed to come back? And Speaker Johnson said, and this is the shocker here, the Senate went dark and did not communicate with us. And Joe, it's really infuriating to know that the Senate, they knew exactly what they were doing at 2 o'clock this morning. They wanted to get out of Dodge. And the fact they're not even communicating with the Speaker of the House, what does that tell you?
I'm not shocked. I know you're not either. And, you know, I've been railing on our own people for a long time saying, look, you guys need to get tough. You need to do what you know the Democrats are going to do. I'm tired. You know, I joke, Todd, that we play by the Markets of Queensbury rules and they're playing guerrilla warfare. We're going to keep losing these battles. So I think what it tells me is the Senate's not going to push this thing forward. They're hoping for more pain. But the numbers that I'm seeing, the Democrats are not looking good. And, you know, Schumer came out and talked about having ice at the airports and how bad it was going to be, and it was going to get worse. And, gee, isn't it amazing that ice got there and all of a sudden the lines thinned out? Things got moving along. They've been wrong everywhere. And from what I'm seeing is the Democrats, I hope this plays out in the election cycle, but the Democrats are taking a beating over this.
Real quick, I'm curious about California. We were looking at some polling data. What the latest polling shows, you could have two Republicans in that big jungle primary. Is that the case? Are you starting to feel any kind of momentum?
I am, but you know when you see that Eric Swalwell is moving up the numbers really quick, it's gonna make you scratch your head. Are people really paying attention? But yeah, ultimately, I don't think we're going to get the big landslide in the primary, but I think you're going to end up with the two Republicans. Katie Porter is not that far behind the when I looked the other day, wasn't that far behind the second Republican. So I hope it stays that way. And I can't believe anybody would vote for her. I just can't understand.
What was the deal? You guys, there was a debate a couple of days ago, but there weren't any minority candidates, so they canceled. It was a USC. They canceled the debate.
Well, you know, what is it? I call him Via Ragu because he can't figure out what his last name is. But you had the Democrat contenders were there, and they were saying, look, there's nobody of color. How can you do that? Well, they used what they used for criteria to get in. None of those people met. So it had nothing to do with color whatsoever, but they made it about color. And then when it got canceled, they came out and said, look, we won. We took a strike at equity, equality, and we won. No, you didn't win. You made a false story. You sold it to people who were totally afraid of you. And you really, you blew an opportunity for people in California to hear what these candidates had to say.
That's messed up. All right. Well, Joe, look, we got to leave it there, my friend. We always appreciate the great work you're doing. And where can folks go if they want to get more info on the great Joe Messina?
Just go to joemessina.com, and all the information is there, stations, times, stories, all kinds of great stuff.
All right. Joe, good hearing from you. Good seeing you.
Yeah, God bless, Todd. Keep up the good work.
All right. There you have it, everybody. We've got to take a break. 901-260-5926 on this Open Line Friday. Whatever you want to talk about, we will talk about. We'll be right back. All right, Open Line Friday, everybody. Coming up in the next hour, more of the latest breaking news from Washington. And Parker, May is going to be here. How are your March Madness brackets? We'll touch base with Parker May in just a little while. By the way, Dylan, we had the opportunity to interview the guy, Chase Johnston, the basketball player from High Point who scored the winning shot that gave them the big win over Wisconsin. He was on the Newsmax show.
Wow.
Great guy.
Did you ask him about his own brackets?
You know, I wasn't sure they're allowed to do bracket. You right. know, but are you ready for this? There's 40 million brackets. There's only one perfect bracket left.
Yeah. And I bet after yesterday's game, they're even worse.
It's a kid, too. It's like an eighth grader, I believe. We'll talk to Parker May about this.
That's awesome.
A lot of people are just shocked.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the lower seeds are winning way more than the higher seeds.
It's, you know, it's that NIL. And just because you have a lot of NIL money doesn't mean you got a team.
That's a good point.
You can't buy a team.
There you go.
That's a mentality.
Commissioner Starnes.
That's it. Put me in charge. I should have been at the president's roundtable.
You should have. Why didn't he think about that?
Coach Saban, let me handle it from here. I got you covered. All right, let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Todd is on the line. Hey, Todd, what's going on?
Hey, Todd, how you doing there, man? We come up around the same time, and I can tell you this. Out here, it's common sense, man. And I was telling you, your ID caller there, Walmart has signs in Walmart, even in post office, of missing children or whatever. All these airports need to put these signs of these Democrats that keep defunding everything that puts people in harm's way. And put the pictures of all these kids that's been terrorized by all these illegal aliens up there. Make them have to answer questions, hard questions for this. I think it's a win-win if we'll just push it a little bit. What's your thoughts on that?
I agree wholeheartedly. We have the moral high ground here. And I'll give you an example. This horrible story out of Chicago, Loyola University, where this young girl was shot in the head by an illegal, and she was a freshman at Loyola University. The mayor of Chicago refuses to apologize, and you had an elected leader, one of the aldermen there. She actually suggested that the victim was at fault because she may have startled the killer. I think we have to start holding these elected leaders accountable for what they're saying and what they're not doing.
Why can't we do that? You've got this opportunity to do it. We run federal buildings. The president has the authority to put their faces, their pictures up there. It's already public notice. I say put their names and why they voted and just hold their feet to the fire. That's got to be done. Make them pay a heavy price,
right? Yeah, no, it's a great point you're raising. I just don't know if the Republicans have the courage to do that. And I'll give you an example. And I think this is part of the whole DNA of being a Republican, because I believe that we've got to play the game that's been presented before us, and the Democrats have created the playing field, and it's got to be smash mouth, and we've got to be smash mouth right back at them. I'll never forget. It was election day, and they had these groups. You know, they have all the political parties outside the election polling place, and everybody's got their banners. And the Democrats were taunting the Republicans. I just happened to be there, and so I said, well, I'm looking around, and everybody's like just all timid on the Republican side. And I'm like, what the heck? So I started jawing back at the Democrats. Todd, somebody came over to me, one of the Republicans, and they said, Todd, we don't do that. We're Republicans. We take the high ground. I'm like, okay, loser.
I agree with you, man. We got to start being tough.
We've got
to be tougher.
Yeah.
Rush Limbaugh right now, I promise you, Rush Limbaugh, he was living today, and you picked up the mantle, man, big time. Rush would be hammering these Democrats right now, and he'd have a 10-point plan to bust their hind end. And I just wish we could just focus more on that and put it to them.
That's it. You know what? They need to be dragging the TSA agents into the hearings and putting them directly in front of the Democrats and saying, this person lost their home because you're not paying, you're not letting them get a paycheck. Put it right in their faces. We have the high ground. We've got the stories. Allegedly, we're in charge right now in Washington, D.C., so we should be taking full advantage of that, but we're not. But, Todd, I got to run, but thank you for calling in today. 901-260-5926. Dylan, do we have this audio I just sent you? All right, you're going to be hearing from Bree Woodson. She is running for Congress in Georgia, and she had a meltdown in Washington, D.C., because there's a banner honoring Charlie Kirk. And she says that she's more deserving of a banner than Charlie Kirk is because she has a college degree. She also says that a Charlie Kirk banner is representative of white supremacy. You can't make this up. Let's listen.
D.C. This is the Department of Education. Charlie Kirk has a banner at the Department of Education. Mind you, I have 8 letters behind my last name. Charlie Kirk never earned a postgraduate degree of any kind. I have a couple, but he's on the Department of Education. This is white supremacist propaganda.
Mm.
Welcome to America.
All right. Well, in fairness, this is Bree Woodson running for Congress in Georgia, a Democrat. We did some research, and she does have 8 letters after her name, B-U-T-T-H-O-L-E. We'll be right back, everybody.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us. Our telephone number on this open line Friday, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Want to go right away to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Always a pleasure to have our good buddy Parker May joining us. Parker is the sports director at KWAM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee. Also, he is a part of the basketball program, the men's basketball program at Samford University. Parker, hope you're doing well today.
Hey, Todd, thanks for having me on.
So this is interesting. NBC News, this is the headline, still one perfect women's March Madness bracket going into the Sweet 16, and it's an eighth grader. It's the funniest story, but a lot of people, their brackets have been busted all over the country.
Yeah, it's really impressive, and it's more common on the women's side to have perfect brackets last a little bit longer, less upsets, but still 48 for 48, very impressive.
Otto Shellhammer, 14 years old from Pennsylvania, an eighth grader, has accurately predicted every game through the first 48 of the women's tournament, calling it a mix of guessing and luck. But that's pretty brilliant. No perfect bracket has ever been verified in the history of the NCAA men's tournament. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I believe the closest someone got, it was about 8 years ago, someone got to about halfway through the Sweet 16 with a perfect bracket. And then this year, no perfect brackets or into the Sweet 16, but an unbelievable bracket that kid has. 48 for 48.
Dylan, how are you doing? How are the brackets? You want to talk to us about it?
No, I don't want to talk about it, Todd. It's so sad. Actually, it could be worse. Yesterday actually messed me up because I had both Nebraska and Illinois moving on, and both those teams lost. So thankfully, I don't have either of them in my final two. I had them in the final four, one of those teams. But, you know, I'm like at 89% correct right now overall.
Parker, how are you? Did you do the brackets this year? I know you're a busy guy, but did you have time to do the brackets?
I did. I made a couple, but they kind of all had the same similar outcome. I had an Arizona over Duke in the national championship, so that part is looking good. The Houston loss last night to Illinois really hurt me. They were in my final four, but I wasn't high on Florida. They went out kind of early. I'm very surprised by that. I thought guys making a run to the Elite Eight out of a 9 seed, but it's definitely been chaos so far.
Guys, guess whose bracket still has hope?
No. No. Yours does not count.
No, it does. Does it count? I
picked Big one tonight for the Volunteers.
Yeah, we're going to be it's Iowa State. We should have got Jeff Stein on the line from KXEL. We're going all the way, baby.
You're losing tonight.
Go Big Orange.
That's a late game.
It is a late
9
game.
9 p.m. our time.
Oh, man, that's like my bedtime.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Parker, any surprises so far in the tournament?
I kind of want to highlight the Big Ten. They've done a really impressive job. They had a lot of teams making it into the field of 64, but they've impressed into the Sweet 16. They had six of the 16 so far, including now with Iowa as a 9 seed, making it now into the Elite Eight led by their star guard, Bennett Sturts. And they're a really impressive story. Their head coach, Ben McCollum, was at a Division II just 2 years ago, was at Drake last year, and has now made the jump to the Big Ten and has his team in the Elite Eight.
Wow, that's great. You know, one of the things that gets me, guys, I was trying to call up ESPN, you know, their website to check out the men's, what's happening in the men's. They always have the women on the front page now. You actually have to search for the men's teams.
They want you to watch women's basketball so bad.
That's not working. I'm just...
No, you've seen the viewership numbers so far, and it's not entirely working so far.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think so at all. Parker, we are, you know, again, looking at the NIL. I just find this so fascinating, but the NIL money and, you know, a lot of the teams that had millions and millions of dollars to spend, they're not advancing as far as a lot of people thought they would in the tournament. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I think it is the real balance of some teams with the biggest NIL budgets not advancing as far as they probably should, but also you've seen the lack of mid-majors or true Cinderellas has kind of gone away due to the NIL era, and I guess you could say our lone Cinderella from this year was a team from the SEC, which doesn't make a ton of sense in Texas, an 11 seed. But you do mention teams with big NIL budgets losing early, especially Kentucky. They probably had one of the biggest NIL budgets in the country. Their roster was evaluated at about $22 million, losing in the second round to Iowa State by 19 points. So we've seen top teams fall early, and it's a real surprise. But it comes down to roster construction. You can have all the money in the world, but can you have the right pieces to make a great puzzle?
You know, that's a great way to describe it. And again, I think when you look at basketball especially, it is a team sport. And I think with the NIL, it really placed less emphasis on team and more so on the individual players. And I know we've seen that, you know, in Memphis, which was one of the great storied basketball programs of all time, which has kind of fallen on hard times lately. And I think that may be one of the reasons why. What say you?
Yeah, it's a really tough task now for head coach Penny Hardaway. Heading into what will be his 9th season next year, he is confirmed to be the head coach next year. And they're making steps towards progress in the NIL era. They are in talks of hiring a general manager to help with NIL and roster construction. And that's what we've seen a lot of bigger teams do. Auburn recently just hired a new one yesterday as well. You have a general manager. It helps take the stress of what NIL is this player going to get versus that player. It gets that stress away from the head coach, and that general manager can kind of handle that area, and the head coach can kind of go back to just recruiting and figuring out what players he wants in his program.
So let's see. If Tennessee wins tonight, pardon me, when Tennessee wins tonight, they could. I mean, if we're looking at a possible upset, you think Alabama's got any shot over Michigan?
I mean, that would be an unbelievable story if you get Alabama and Tennessee in the Elite Eight. But I actually have both of them losing tonight. But I know the social media in the entire Southeastern Conference.
I'm sorry. Wait, what?
Explode. Wait, watching what? A Tennessee Alabama Elite Eight.
No. Hold on. You've got my Tennessee Volunteers losing tonight, Parker May.
I didn't want to say it, but I do. This is going to be a very tough matchup, but it's going to be a great game. I think it's going to be a really defensive game. It might be one of those, like, the first to 65 points wins it, just because of how defensive-minded these teams are.
There's no saving face now, my friend. No saving face. This is
there
war.
Is not. I feel but this is a great accomplishment betrayal. For Tennessee making it to the Sweet 16.
I feel a great sense of betrayal, Dylan.
You shouldn't, actually. I didn't even have them in the Sweet 16, so I don't know how you're doing this, but I guess you believe in the orange. So.
You both are dead to me. That's all I'm going to say. All right. Well, guys, another great weekend of basketball, and we'll see how it all plays out. I'm excited, though, the championship in Indianapolis, and it's always a great basketball atmosphere there in Indiana.
Yep, absolutely. Should be a great Final Four. We will have the field set on Monday.
All right, guys. Well, we'll see. And go Big Orange. Parker May, always good hearing from you and seeing you. We've got to leave it there, and we do need to take a break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. We caught up with our good friend, Pastor Alan Jackson at NRB in Nashville, and we touched on a lot of different issues. Let's take a listen to that conversation.
Well, one of the busiest men here at National Religious Broadcasters Convention is our good friend, Pastor Alan Jackson, who has a brand new book out, by the way, and we'll be talking more about that in just a moment. Pastor Jackson, great to see you in person, and welcome to NRB.
Well, thank you, Todd. It's always good to be with you.
You know, one of the things I really admire about your ministry is you're not afraid to just jump in there, talk about the big culture issues of the day. You know, a lot of pastors just aren't doing that anymore.
Yeah, I think it's unfortunate we have that. And I understand why we're reluctant, but I think we're either going to shape culture or we're going to be shaped by it. And I think the church's assignment is to be culture shapers. So here we go.
Isn't that interesting? Because look at American history. It's very clear that pastors played a very important role in speaking truth to the culture, being that salt and that light. And it seems like these days a lot of pastors are on maybe a sodium-free diet.
Well, I think the church has, to me, it's similar to our immune system. You know, it's really vital to the well-being of the organism, of our culture. And we have to have the courage to take on those things that challenge our fundamental belief system. And if we will, God will meet us in those places. So,
when you were starting out in ministry, did you ever imagine all of this?
No. You know, when I came to serve the congregation where I am now, we had a tent and fewer than 30 people. And, you know, the media wasn't the conversation. Media for me was if the overhead projector would work. So it's a different day.
What would be, I say, the secret sauce? What is it about the ministry that's you've seen this phenomenal growth, the influence in the culture and here in Middle Tennessee?
Well, there's a variety of things. I think, one, I realized pretty early that I was the one that had to change, that if I could keep growing and I could keep learning, then God could keep expanding the opportunities. And then the community where we are has grown dramatically, so an influx of people has helped a great deal. And then God's the only one that changes lives. You know, at the end of the day, I'm just a dancing monkey. It takes God to change a life. So,
isn't it amazing, though, when you look at where we are now, you have a president of the White House, and God uses some of the most unusual people to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. And I really have to believe President Trump is one of those people.
Well, I don't think there's any question that President Trump and his whole administration have had more courage for advocating for issues around a biblical worldview tragically, than most of our pulpits. They've been willing to define marriage in terms of a biblical worldview, family in terms of a biblical worldview. They've pushed aside things that were encroaching on our freedoms and liberties. I'm most grateful for them. So God's using, God works through unlikely vessels. That's how we got jobs.
It's exactly. It's a great point. And especially when you look at the president again, he's not a preacher by any stretch of the imagination. And yet he's been able to hone in on those issues that I think are important to the culture and are important to people of faith.
Well, and I talk to people of faith all the time. They'll say to me, you know, President Trump is crass. And I would, yes, but he's making godly decisions. You know, I'm not endorsing his vocabulary, but I am very grateful for his leadership. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I finished a service, and a couple came up to me in the church. They're from Venezuela, and there were tears running down their faces. It was the weekend Maduro was removed, and they said, would you pray for a friend of ours? I thought they had somebody with them, and I said, sure, and they held up their phone. It was a pastor in Venezuela, and
wow.
He was weeping, and he said, Pastor Allen, will you tell the people of America thank you? You have changed our future this weekend, and so President Trump and his team are making a difference in the globe. I pray for him on a daily basis.
When you look at what's happening, some of the big issues of the day, we're coming up on America 250, the president's calling the nation to prayer. How important are those declarations coming from the White House to people of faith?
Well, I think we have to put it in contrast to what we've had previously, where there was this consistent encroachment on our religious liberties and freedoms and freedoms of speech. And President Trump has, the stand he's taken, he's given us a freedom to do the things we're doing and to speak the truth into our culture. And so it's just a remarkable opportunity. It's harvest season. And I think we better have the courage to go forward.
I want to talk about your new book, Lead with Faith. You know, a lot of folks think, well, wait a second, that's the job of the preacher to talk about religious things. You know, I'm a businessman, I'm a teacher. But that's not the focus here, and that's not the message of the book.
No, Todd, you got it exactly. What I realized in the congregation was I'm surrounded by these people who are often world-class leaders in business, in the corporate setting, in the hobbies of their choice, in homes, in so many ways. But there's a great reluctance to lead with their faith. If you ask them to pray or to, they begin to defer and to, and that's not acceptable. We have to take our faith into the corporate boardroom and into academia and all of those places, not to preach sermons, but to take our biblical worldview and lead with our faith. If we'll do that, we'll change our world.
But how do you do that, especially when so many people now are being told, oh, you don't want to be offensive to people. You don't want to say something that might cause them the offense. And I think a lot of times Christians just back off, you know, that they shy away from sharing their faith.
We have to change. Jesus was offensive. On multiple occasions, the disciples would come to Jesus and say, did you know you offended your audience? Or the people he's speaking to would say, did you realize you've just insulted us? Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring division. And the church has accepted the wrong message. You know, Jesus in John 17 prayed for unity amongst the believers. But there should be a friction point between ourselves and the ungodly because the truth is uncomfortable. You go to the doctor and he gives you a diagnosis and it's not what you want to hear. That's a real uncomfortable moment. But if all he does is say things to make you happy, he's a quack and it's malpractice. And the church has been committing malpractice for too long.
My doctor told me to ease up on the Dr. Pepper. It was not a pleasant conversation, Pastor, I'm telling you. But again, it makes perfect sense what you're saying, because so many times we hear people and they say, no, you've got to back off. But you're saying we've got to stand firm in the faith and speak, you know, speak truth, but do it in a loving way.
Well, we don't have to be obnoxious or angry, and we certainly don't need to be violent, but we have to have the courage to tell the truth. When we withdrew from those settings, another worldview stepped into those places. There was pro-DEI or LGBTQ2+I, whatever the latest version of that is. Another worldview stepped into that, and I'm ashamed that we ever retreated. So now we're going to have to do the hard work to walking back into academia and corporate boardrooms and the public square and all those places.
Isn't that interesting, though? That's a great point you raised, because even within, like, the, you know, the entertainment community, for example, that was birthed out of the church, and we just surrendered it to
It's a great point. The church was the incubator of the arts in Western culture for almost 1,000 years. And, I mean, all of our classic art and music and literature has Christian themes. And the church stepped out of that, and now we find this secularization of that. We got to go back. I'm not ashamed of what I believe, and I'm grateful to see a movement in that way.
America 250, it really is the greatest nation, I think, on the face of the earth, the most exceptional. What is it that you love about your country?
Well, there's no place like it. I've had the privilege of traveling the world. And the freedom and the liberties we enjoy, what binds us together as a nation is not our ethnicity or our appearance. We're a melting pot. We've come from the nations of the world. But it was a value system. We've never been uniquely Christian, but it's been our Judeo-Christian values that have bound us together. And it has given us the greatest opportunities, the greatest abundance. And we have an opportunity, I think, to see that emerge again if the believers will have the courage to lead with our faith.
It's going to be a great celebration. Pastor Jackson, congratulations on the new book, Lead with Faith. Got to get a copy of that. Good to see you.
Thank you, Todd. Keep up the good work.
All right. All right. That was a fun interview. I'm calling an audible, and we're doing a quick trivia question. The winner is going to get a copy of the brand new book. It's not going to be out till May, but we're going to take all your info, and we're going to go Andy Griffith Show. So here is the question. Gomer Pyle had two popular catchphrases on the Andy Griffith Show. You've got to tell us both of those catchphrases. Gomer Pyle had a catchphrase, two catchphrases. You've got to tell us both of them, and you will win a copy of the new book, The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. What is Gomer Pyle's famous catchphrases? We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show, and a lot of breaking news. By the way, Speaker Mike Johnson, just a few moments ago, talking and giving some statements, and we'll share some of that audio in just a matter of moments. I do want to go to the phone, though. We have a trivia question on the table, and let's go to Donna in Georgia. Donna, what part of Georgia are you listening to us from?
In Winder.
Winder, Georgia. Wonderful. Well, Donna, you're going to have an opportunity. By the way, Donna, this is a very special deal because you will be the first person to ever win a copy of my brand new book.
Oh, yay.
So you can't get this, you can't mess this up now, Donna. So there's a lot riding on this. So we're doing an Andy Griffith Show trivia question. And of course, Gomer Pyle, one of the great memorable characters, and he had two very popular catchphrases. And Donna, when you give me the answer, you've got to do it in your best Gomer Pyle voice. I mean, you got to go all in here. All right, Donna, are you with me?
I'm with you.
All right. So what's phrase number one?
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
All right. Let's go to the tape here, Dylan.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Wow. Yeah. Well, Dylan made you a premature winner, but hold on. We got part two. What's this? Sounds like you got a big crowd there, an audience, Donna.
Just in the car riding around.
All right, causing problems, no doubt. All right, Donna, what is the second? You know, we may as well get everybody in the car to shout out the second. What is the second catchphrase?
Shazam!
Wow, yeah. All right, thank you now, Dylan. Yeah. Wow. Well done. Congratulations, Donna. You have just won the very first copy of my brand new book coming out later this spring.
Well, thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome. So hang tight, and we're going to get all of your info, and you will be, I think you're going to really enjoy the book. It's called The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America, and we have a lot of fun stories in there. So let's put Donna on hold. And wow, Dylan, I think that's a first. We had an entire car full of people.
That's pretty awesome. I wonder if she had some help.
Well, maybe. She had a lifeline.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's allowed. Everybody knew that. So we'll do some more of those in the coming days. All right. I want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Congressman Mark Harris agreed to come on and talk about this breaking news. Congressman, good to have you with us today.
Hey, Todd, great to be with you. It's hard to get through because of all the folks responding to the Andy Griffith review.
You know, midway through, we were like, uh-oh, our lines are full. So we appreciate you playing along here, Congressman. In all seriousness, I have never seen Speaker Mike Johnson so angry over what's been happening and what happened in the wee hours of the morning. As a matter of fact, we call that time, here on this program, we call it demon time.
Demon time.
Demon time. What say you, Congressman?
Well, I agree. I think the demons were set loose over in the Senate. And amazingly enough, around 2 o'clock this morning, as I understand it, they passed this funding bill and then sent it over to us. And really, without any courtesy, letting us know this was happening, they voted it by unanimous consent. If I understand correctly, there were 5 senators on the floor when this happened. Nobody, interestingly enough, was willing to object. And so it went by unanimous consent. And it's just unacceptable. The Senate's refusal to fully fund Homeland Security is just pathetic. I mean, I don't know anything else. When you think about what was in this bill, the fact that they wanted to defund ICE, defund Border Patrol. I mean, they zeroed out ICE's unit fighting child sex trafficking. And when you look at shortchanging our Border Patrol and blocked funding to deport dangerous criminals, the American people have been held hostage. And I think the term has been made that they not only been holding them hostage, but at 2 o'clock in the morning, they demanded a ransom and shot the hostage. I mean, it's bad. And we spent over 2 hours together, almost 2 hours as a conference with the speaker. That's why his news conference was delayed about an hour because our conversations went on and on. And so we're preparing to pass a bill sometime later. I guess it'll go through rules, and then it'll ultimately get to the floor, and hopefully we're going to pass this bill and send it back to the Senate, basically saying we want a continuing resolution on fully funding Homeland Security, period. And this will be the fourth time that we have actually passed a bill demanding or approving funding for all of Homeland Security and sending it over to the Senate.
Congressman, let me jump in here. I've got so many questions. That would almost imply that the Senate's going to have to come back because they're gone. I mean, they ran.
Well, they don't. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure they have to. Through this pro forma, they can, with unanimous consent, they passed this crap last night with 5 people there. They can pass something with unanimous consent when it gets back to them on Monday or Tuesday.
We just had Congressman John Rose on, and as awful as the Democrats are here, this is a Republican problem right now. And the issue I have with the Senate Majority Leader is that now he's put you guys on the hot seat when it should have been the Democrats all along. Republicans had control of the moral high ground, and it was ceded in the wee hours of the morning here. Congressman John Rose says it is time for new leadership in the Senate. What say you? Do you agree with that?
Well, I don't disagree with that. Speaker said a few moments ago in the breaking news that, you know, he doesn't believe that John Thune was anything that he formulated. I don't know. I do think that there's a lot of questions that have got to be answered about how such a thing ended up coming out of the Senate. But to your point that they put us in the hot seat, well, this conference is going to stand strong, and our plan is to send it right back. But this time was something that really and truly, there's no reason that they cannot go for full funding over a period of time in a short-term CR that would allow us to get these people paid. The president, just in the last few minutes, I understand, has signed the executive order that is instructing Secretary Mark Blaine Mullen to pay TSA agents, so they will begin to be paid. But if they go ahead, if the Senate will take this action today that we're taking and send it back over to them,
if they will take the action in their pro forma session on Monday or Tuesday, they ought to be able to pass this again through unanimous consent.
All right. Well, Congressman, we really appreciate you hopping on here at the last minute. I know that's a lot of breaking news that's happening. Will you guys be doing any votes today? Is that when all of this is going to happen, later today?
It will be happening either later today or in the morning. We've got to get everybody back. We got to know everybody's here. Rules will, I'm anticipating a rule vote will happen later tonight, and it may be that a vote will happen in the morning. On our end to get it passed and sent back over to the Senate. It could happen. I just know the Speaker intends for it to move as soon as possible.
Hopefully in the daylight hours when people can be aware, I hope.
I hope. Well, we just want to get it done. As quickly as we can get the votes here, we want to take it and we want to send it back to the Senate.
All
because
right.
This doesn't need to be lingering out there.
No, it does not. All right, Congressman Harris, thank you again. Congressman Mark Harris, ladies and gentlemen, from the great state of North Carolina. I'm telling you, Dylan, it's every time the lawmakers do something after 11 o'clock, it's demon time, I'm telling you.
Demon time.
Demon time.
Demon time.
Say it one more time.
Demon time.
Demon time. That's what I'm talking about. Unbelievable. Just unbelievable. Folks, we have the phone number for the Capitol switchboard up right now on our live stream. So if you go to Facebook, YouTube, wherever, and you'll be able to find that number. You need to be calling your elected leaders in Congress on the House and the Senate side, and you need to have a come to Jesus moment with all of these folks. Don't be using any bad language unless it's necessary. But I'm just telling you, they need to know that you are fired up, that the voters of America, we demand better. We simply demand better. All right, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Again, that's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, well, our wonderful panel, we call them unofficially Todd's Hot Conservative Babes, none other than the great Mary Walter and Kay Smythe Hill, both Newsmax contributors, and they join us, and we have a lot of fun. Let's take a listen.
Delta Airlines announced today they're no longer going to let members of Congress skip the line. They're going to have to stand there with all the folks who fly steerage. What say you about that?
It's about time. No kings. Power to the people. The fact that and this is something that the Democrats should be on board with. Right. No kings, no authoritarians, no dictators. They're not better than us. Right. So they should be on board with this and they should be very upset with their Democratic representatives who voted against this. This is something that is long overdue. I hope the other airlines file suit. As far as Trump and ICE, first of all, the man is the most brilliant troll. I thought I was good. This man puts me to shame. Hilarious. I love it. But it does take the pressure off the Democrats to some extent, right? Because now people they're not being made miserable. Democrats love to make the American people miserable. Trump alleviated that. I hope he gets credit for alleviating it, and I hope they continue to hold Democrats' feet to the fire. And lastly, how nice was it to see the ICE agents handing out water instead of, what was it, separating families and killing people at the airports? You know, I didn't think that was going to happen to begin with, but you know, for Democrats, hope springs eternal. So overall, great troll on the president's part.
Kay, I want to switch gears. Maryland, a Republican lawmaker asking questions about a bill that would force all public buildings to provide tampons in the men's room. Let's take a listen.
What are appropriately sized tampons? I've never heard of such a thing. What do you consider appropriate?
It just means that tampons are offered. There's no specific size.
Well, apparently there's four different sizes. So which one would you like them to use?
Just a regular size tampon in the bathroom.
Oh, geez, Alou. All right, ladies, I'm just going to step back here. And, Kay, I'm going to let you debate the phrase appropriately sized tampons for us.
Well, okay, I don't even know where to start with this, because there's the debate on like whether people should be using tampons anyway. I don't personally trust anything made in China, even though most of the stuff that we use these days is. But this is just, guys, weren't we past this? Didn't we elect Trump? I mean, I didn't. You guys can hear by my accent, I can't vote in this country, although I know how to get an ID, all those sorts of things. So, you know, at some point in the future, maybe. But weren't we past this? Weren't we past the point where we realized that men, A, don't need tampons, B, if they did, I dread to think where they would be putting them. In fact, I think the only thing any man should ever use a tampon for is for a nosebleed, as we saw Channing Tatum do in the movie. I can't remember what it's called, but it's based on a Shakespearean movie. And it's one of the funniest moments ever in cinematic history. That is the only context in which men should be using tampons, for comic effect during a nosebleed. That is it. I think that the fact that taxpayer money is going to be spent on this, how people are like rising up against it, it's just the kind of stupidity that kind of breaks my brain. And I thought being postpartum was enough to break my brain. This just made it even worse, because I can't believe that we and how is this, like, how is this man saying this with a straight face? Appropriately sized tampons. How is this man saying it with a straight face? He must have a lot of zeros behind him that are pushing him to do this. That's the only reason. Only reason someone would choose to be this embarrassingly stupid.
Mary, I, as much as I want you to weigh in on the ladies' unmentionable segment, we do need to move on. Switching gears, an art project at a Washington State high school did not have tampons, but did actually depict President Trump as a pig, a Klan member, a clown, and had references to assassination, ultimately removed after the student shared an image with the center square, which went viral. I'm just wondering, at what point does the art teacher step in and say, you know, I think we might need to self-edit a bit here?
Yeah, well, it's an art teacher. Haven't we pretty much determined that most artists are the ones with the purple hair and all that stuff and hate Trump? And not all, I said most, so don't write the emails. I don't want to hear it. I'm not condemning everybody. But when someone's saying, well, I'm an artist, or they're unemployed or anything along those lines, you know the fringe, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It would not be surprising to me if said art teacher did have like purple hair and secretly thought that this was fantastic and it was beautiful art, because you know when this kid was doing this along the way as the project was going along, that art teacher had no oversight. Of course he or she did. Of course they did. They knew darn well what was happening. And secretly they were like going, oh, this is going to be great. This is fantastic. But I'm going to let him do it. I'm going to blame the kid when it all comes to fruition. So I'm glad that they took it down, that cooler heads prevailed, and I'm glad they took it down. And by the way, Todd, you're a chicken for not having us expound any more on the tampons in the men's bathroom topic.
Yeah, that's a discussion about the appropriate length of a segment. Ladies, finally, new craze sweeping across the nation. First, there was something called goat yoga. Now there's something called sword yoga. Ladies in New York City and South Florida now wielding swords for exercise. Mary, I'm just curious, do you think that's going to be as popular as Pilates? Mary, you answer first, then Kay, wrap up for us.
Well, I think with this one, women need to know their limitations, because I'm a klutz. I walked into the refrigerator the other day and my husband's like, did you not see it? So like for me, this would be a no-go, because I would be in the ER within the first 15 minutes. So for me, it's a no-go. What happened to batons? Like, did we stop baton twirling? Right? Like, why does it have to be a day? And it's not even like a plastic sword. It's actually real. So I think you'd better know your limitations if this is something you're going to take on.
All right, Kay.
I couldn't. No, I mean, that you absolutely nailed it, Mary. That was the first thing that I thought. I was just like, oh, that's an accident waiting to happen. But then I was like, why stop at swords? This is America. Why not gun yoga? Why not machete yoga? And we'll just go down the list. We'll just go down the list. We'll do a bear spray yoga. we'll just find every single one possible, every single type of weapon. I know that someone's going to be like, oh, well, there's like a Tai Chi, like, you know, chill element going on. Like with this, blah, 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 blah. No, someone's going to get hurt. Someone's going to get sued. But I still think that we should go for like gun yoga. And I don't know.
What all are right. Kind of things now, there you go, everybody. You never know what's going to happen on this show. Hey, get out there. Have a great Friday, folks. And whatever you do, be sure to go to church this weekend.